We're going to look this morning at Romans 5. We've had a bit of it read. We're going to look at Romans 5 because in a few minutes we will observe communion, or you may know it as the Lord's Supper. I want you to think this morning of the hope communion offers. Communion goes back to the Jewish observance of Passover, which goes back to when the Jews were enslaved in Egypt. As they celebrate Passover, they remember God made the promise to redeem them. And that redemption is possible through Jesus alone. So as Jesus observed the Passover meal with the disciples on the night he was betrayed, he explained the bread and the cup. He explained how communion offers hope. It offers hope because of the work God did through the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at Romans 5, we will see the hope that made possible through Jesus. The hope of communion. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read the first 11 verses. Paul writes, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." So communion offers hope for your present. Communion offers hope for whatever you're going through right now. What Jesus did offers hope for you now. 11-something a.m., September 13th, 2015, Jesus offers you hope. Paul begins this what we know as chapter 5 with the word therefore, because he's summing up essentially what he has said in the first four chapters. That the gospel is good news because we have been justified by faith. He's taken them through what God did in and with and through Abraham. And he then uses a legal term, justification. It means to be made innocent or righteous and not doing the time required in jail. We have been justified. I also think of being justified. Have you ever walked into someone's home and sat down and they had a big picture on the opposite wall? And the longer you looked at it, the more you realized that picture was just a little bit out of tilt? And you just wanted so badly to go over there and correct it? That's justification. That God saw you not just a little bit out of tilt, but more like this, and he came and made you right. But it's also that legal term, that you did it. There's no question that you did it, that you're guilty, but Christ took the punishment. He justified us. He justified us. The heart has been changed. Your character has been changed. God accepts you. There are three consequences of this justification that Paul talks about. First, he says that we have peace with God. We have this relationship with him. where all the hostility caused by our sin, all the rebellion, all the, God, I don't care what you say, and I'm going to do things my own way, where God says, I've forgiven that. So we have peace with God. We have this relationship. The second thing he mentions is that it is by faith that we have gained access into this relationship of grace. Yesterday, the sun would come out and the clouds would cover over. The sun would come out and the clouds would cover over. And so think about being in God's grace like being in the sunshine. There may be clouds everywhere, but there's sunshine, the sunshine of grace in your life. And the great thing that about being saved by faith, by grace, is that we don't have to earn. We don't have to work for anything. God gives it to us freely if we'll just ask Him. He mentions one more thing. He says that we rejoice, we rejoice, we boast in the hope of sharing the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of sharing the glory of God. A second offer of hope for your present is how to look at suffering. He says we exult, we rejoice in our suffering. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to hurt. But because of what God has done, He has redeemed and made profitable this process of suffering. Is anybody hurting? Anybody know something going on in your world that you wish wasn't? Is there? And it may be physical, like Howard and Dolores, but it may be emotional as well. It hurts. And Paul says we exult in our tribulations, because our tribulations bring about perseverance. Ooh, the other day I ran across the street. Boy, those 10 yards was about all I could stand. It's been a while. But you know what? If I got out there every day and ran a little bit, I could run 12 yards then one day. And then 15. Well, that's true in our world. That's true in our lives. He says we exult in our tribulations because our tribulations bring about perseverance. And that perseverance then brings about character. God is shaping us, molding us through our tribulations. And that character brings about hope. And then he says something that is so glorious. He says, and hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Oh, man. It is so good to know that I don't have to be good enough, but that Christ made me good enough. I don't know if you have seen the commercial. I have seen both the commercial and the previews for the movie A Walk in the Woods. Now, I think they titled that movie that way, but you know it's about the hiking the Appalachian Trail. And I am looking forward to the hiker breakfast. But you kind of know when March and April get around that our town would begin filling up. And you know who the hikers are, because oftentimes they're carrying backpacks. And they carry backpacks for a reason. It's not because they want a little more to do. It's because they know that they need supplies. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But they carry that around because they know that they need it right now. And that backpack has the things to meet their present needs. And Christ is working everything out to meet your present needs. If you were to rejoice about your present, if you were to rejoice about this day, what would cause it? Your ability to make life work? Your good deeds? Or would you rejoice in what God has done? We celebrate communion in a few moments because of what Christ has done. So when you think of having joy in what God has done for you, don't think of it in subjective emotional terms, Because emotions are like leaves out in a March wind. They get blown around everywhere. Think about rejoicing because of the better hope in Christ. Rejoice because that better hope in Christ doesn't depend on how you feel. So as you think about suffering, is there anything you need to learn? As you think about suffering, is there anything that needs to be developed in your heart, in your life? As you think about suffering, are you willing to embrace that process? Because if you're not willing to embrace the process of suffering, you want God to make much of you, and what He's wanting is for you to make much of Him. We want our lives to work. We want our families' lives to work. We want everything to be just the way we want it. And when it doesn't, our response is anything but rejoicing. Paul said, rejoice even in the suffering. And if you do embrace the process, this process that Paul's talking about, you are consciously aware of your dependence on God. You are consciously aware, and you're making much of Him. Suffering is not proof of being out of God's grace. Suffering is oftentimes precisely where you experience God's grace the most and the best. So there is hope in communion. Communion offers not only hope for our present, it offers hope for your future. What Jesus did offers hope for you in the future. First, Paul makes clear the demonstration of God's love via Christ's death is the foundation of hope. What Christ did is our foundation of hope. Four times he uses the expression He died or Christ's death. Expressing God's love, whether anyone responds to it or not. Four times he says Christ died. And so Paul's focus is on God's initiative. What God chose to do. Were you ever in trouble so deep that you didn't even know what kind of trouble you were in? That's exactly where all of us have been. And God made the initiative, took the initiative to come after us. Christ did it as His agent. So it's not your abilities, it's not your winsomeness, your good personality, your contribution to the relationship. Paul reminds us of our condition. Paul reminds you of your condition, that you were helpless, that you were ungodly, that you were sinners. It's not that you had a little bit of a character issue, you were just totally bankrupt. And Christ came for you. And in His dying, that reconciliation was made possible. Have you ever been on the outs with somebody? Somebody close? Have you ever been in a relationship, a situation, maybe with extended family members or close family members, where you didn't get along? Where something got said, and then something got said, and then something got said, and finally you realized after months or years that something had to be done, and you went to that person? Well, that's what Paul's describing here, this reconciliation. See, what we did is that we said, I don't want to do it your way. I think I know best. And we went. And we just kept going. And we just kept going. And Christ came for us. He came to reconcile us. That His blood being shed on the cross back then meant that we shall be saved from the wrath of God to come. So there is hope for you for your future. I didn't mean to wear this jacket this morning. In fact, I came to the church without the jacket. And I don't know, I was going to show the choir, they can see, but somebody said, you got a stain on that shirt. Yeah, and I don't know how it got there. I really don't want to know how it got there. If you catch my drift, I think a feathered friend may have done something for me. I don't know. But there it is. And so I thought, oh man, what am I going to do? I guess I'll just wear the jacket and cover it up. You wouldn't have known had I not shown you. And that's what the blood of Christ does. It covers up our sin. When Jesus looks at you, when God looks at you, He sees what Jesus has done. When God looks at you, He doesn't see the rebellion. He doesn't see the sin. He doesn't see the defiance. He doesn't see all the things that we did that deserve punishment and death. He sees the blood of Christ. If we've asked Him to cover our sin, if we've confessed our sin to Him, if we have, as He'll say later in Romans here, if we have believed with our hearts and confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, our sins have been covered. Do you have hope for your future? Do you have confidence that you will be saved from the wrath of God? Why is that? Why is that? As we get ready in a moment to participate in communion, remember that the bread represents the body of Christ, broken for you. Broken. Broken, yes, by death, but resurrected on the third day. Remember that. And remember that the cup represents the blood that He shed to enact a new covenant. And that new covenant, that relationship made possible with Christ, is why there is hope for your future. There is hope in communion. This morning, as we prepare, a word of warning. Paul makes it very clear in 1 Corinthians 11 that we are not to partake, that we are not to participate in communion out of relationship with Him or with an unrepentant heart. It is not a question in my mind of whether you're not a member or not of this church. The question is are you a member of the body of Christ? Do you have a relationship with Him? And so as we get ready to respond, a time of response, that's really the question I want you to deal with, is do I have a relationship with Christ? Not I've been baptized, I'm a member of a church, not all those things, but do I have a real relationship with Christ? Was there a day, was there a point in time where you believed with your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? If so, you're welcome to participate. But we need to examine ourselves. And as we do, as we pray, as the music is playing, and if you're singing, that's fine. But just think about your life. Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ?